The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
God bless you. Thank you for joining us wherever you're joining us at today. And if you're blessed, you would have been joining us here. But if you're not, if you're sick or in the hospital, we understand. And so, or if you're in jail, if they still let you see it in jail. I don't know that they do. They used to, but who knows these days. But we're glad that you're here. It is awesome to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now think about this. Have you ever went to somebody's house that wasn't yours? Do you feel comfortable in somebody else's house that ain't yours? I mean, when I went to dad's and mom's, man, I could kick my shoes off at the door, go in there, and as long as they didn't get in dad's recliner, I'm good. I could sit anywhere I wanted. And then finally he said, "Jay, sit over here." And I'd sit there, and you know, recliners kind of wear to the person. And my dad's was shorter in stature than me. And it didn't quite fit, you know, because anyway. You just make yourself at home. We can be at home in our Father's house because we're His kids. Amen. Even our grandkids. We got back and we were unloading the camper. We were doing some stuff. We got back and next thing you know, Willow, my granddaughter, comes into my chair with a popsicle. And we got one of those freezers that opens up with the big freezer parts on the bottom. And she knows that those are hers. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to remind her to close the freezer door because then everything else in there will go bad. But she goes, "Papa, I want this." And I'm like, "Why do you want it, honey? You already got it." You know, and it's those freezer pop things, you know, in the plastic tube, you know. The good things that when it's hot outside, you want something, you know. And she goes, "Well," and she thought about it for her. I said, "Why do you want it, honey? You already got it." And she thought about it. Now, she's 4 years old. And she goes, "Because I can't get it because it's not open." A four-year-old gets it. We can't get the Word of God in us if it ain't open. We know where it's at. We know where the Word of God's at, but unless we open it, we can't get it from here into here. A four-year-old gets it. The gospel is so simple that a four-year-old can get it. Now, we're getting ready to talk about some doctrinal issues. We're getting ready to talk about some things that are coming up in the future in our Sunday night classes. But you can get saved and then learn that. To live doctrinally, it's a different thing, but you can get saved. You can come to the Lord. The gospel is so simple that a four-year-old understands that I can hold it in my hand but not have it in me because it's not open. And the way we open it is through the Word, and the way we open up the Word is talk to the author, and the way we talk to the author is through our prayer. Amen? So look at somebody right now, and whoever, if you haven't greeted everybody, just turn around and wave. Say, "Hey, how you doing, neighbor?" Tell them you look wonderful, and tell them I'm going to be keeping an eye on you, so don't nod off. All right, turn with me to Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14. God is good, and for those of you who are in the Warsaw area and you didn't worship the Lord this morning, find yourself a way to worship the Lord. It's harder to sing when you're by yourself because you can't harmonize with one. But we lifted up our voices in song to the great I Am this morning. Amen. And it's amazing that He inhabits the praises of His people. I'm amazed at people that don't come to church and they wonder why they get to feeling distant from God. Well, maybe because He inhabits our praises. Maybe it's time you start praising Him, you know, just, you know, there, get your praise on and begin to thank the Lord for all that you have and all that you didn't have. I didn't have a tree fall down in my yard. My corn is still standing. My beans are looking good. We got zucchini to feed the world. Went away for a week and them crazy zucchini took off and Oh, and then that one zucchini that was about this round when we left, it was round and green. We got home, and that thing had changed. It had morphed into orange, and it's going to be in a pie before too long. It's a pumpkin. And so, but anyway, somebody put this pumpkin seed over in the zucchini seed, and I declared to Vanessa when we first planted that thing, and it came up, and it looked like a baseball. I'm like, either it's a dwarf zucchini, or it's got dreams of being a pumpkin. And so it turned into be a pumpkin. Thank God. What a bountiful harvest there's been for our first garden in like 20-some years. And you know what? We may have forgot how to do it. We may have gotten out of the habit of it. But Genesis chapter 8 says, seed time and harvest as long as the earth remaineth. And the earth remains, and we're having a harvest. Amen?
Amen.
So, and our potatoes are looking wonderful. I want to sneak some, and my dad used to call it graveling. He wants to get out there and get a few out the hill just to taste them because they're yummy, and she won't let me. She got to go work sometime. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way that looks right, that feels right, but its end is the way of death. Now, as we were traveling this week, there was a lot of road construction. There was a lot of road construction. And I noticed these signs, because you ever know how sometimes they have this lane cross over to that lane, and they shut down the outside lanes to work on whatever. And there was these big signs that said, do not follow trucks into the construction zone. I got to thinking, I'm driving along at 60 miles an hour, and not one time did I ever have the urge or the unction to follow one of them trucks into the barricades. Why do they need to have a sign for this? Why do people have to be warned about this? Well, apparently, somebody, hopefully none of you, you haven't been driving lately, have you, Whitey? Okay, all right, you would get a pass. You would, if Whitey followed the big truck, he'd get a pass. No. Somebody followed them dump trucks into the construction zone. And I know that it didn't end well. You know? And so they put signs up. Now, the thing about it is if you don't really realize that you shouldn't be following a dump truck into a construction zone, especially ones that say stay back 500 feet, maybe you ought to reconsider that driving thing. Because Greyhounds still say, you know, take the bus, leave the driving to us. Maybe you just want to consider that. Because there's good folk out there that have to be driving with you. And if you drive into those unimpaired, thinking it's the right thing, you see, that's what the writer of Proverbs is saying. There's a way that seems right, but its end is the way of death. Its end is separation from God. There's a way that seems right to a man. I was reading this morning, Charles Finney, had old gospel preacher, had talked to a man. And he asked him, he said, tell me about your relationship to Christ. He says, I don't have much time for that. I just do the best I can. I just live good. I don't murder. I don't drink. I don't gamble. And that's enough. And he said, Mr. Finney asked him, he says, how then will you go from this life to the next? He says, I'm not concerned. I'm not concerned. Let me mix a little science with your Bible. Can I do that? Because the Bible always is proven by science, not the other way. A true scientist will look for the answer and compare it to the Word of God, and it will prove true every time. Amen. Archaeological digs have been proving the existence of ancient cities that historians for years discounted because the only mention of them is in the Scripture. It is recorded in the book, in your book of Isaiah, that it is the Lord that sits on the circle of the earth. How then did Isaiah know that when everybody up until that time, everybody thought that the earth was a flat board crawling through space on the back of a turtle? But Isaiah said it is the Lord that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. There are scientific facts laced all through the Scripture. If you'll use a critical mind and not a cynical mind, you will have discoveries. Amen? It is proven, back to my scientific fact, that life is energy. Life is matter. Scientists still do not know what causes the impulses. Did God install a Duracell battery in most of us when he created us? Maybe the tiny electric eel. What causes the electric impulses that pulse through our nervous system, that pulse through the synapses in our brain? It's energy. It is matter. And they have actually had some high-speed, high-def film taken at the point of this body's demise, when the heart stops and the death breath happens. And they see energy leaving the body. The Apostle Paul said, "For me to die is gain. For to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord." This body's not going into the Lord's presence. Right. We know then that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It only changes form. Right? Seventh grade science class? It only changes form. What then are we going to do for our eternal destination? Where will you choose? Because there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death or eternal separation from God. The writer of Proverbs goes on in 13, "Even in laughter the heart may sorrow." Now think about that. Even in laughter, how many people do you know that battle with depression and anxiety? They put a smile on to hide the actual goings-on. I'm reminded of Robin Williams, a very, very, very funny comedian who dealt with depression to the point that it caused him to end his own life. Even in laughter, the heart may sorrow. And the end of mirth may be grief. The end of a trial. Everybody wants to live happily ever after. Now, sorry, everything's not a Aesop's fable or a Grimm's fairy tale. Everything, Walt Disney didn't write the Bible. We're going to go through some stuff. We're going to have some stuff in our life. We need to understand it, right? We've got to tell the full gospel. We've got to rightly divide. There are some people that may not ever be happy. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. I, hopefully you, will lift up your eyes unto the hills from where our help comes. Amen? The simple believe every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. That's what your word says. That's what your word says. That fella or lady that followed that truck into the construction zone was confident they were on the right path. The Lord protected us on our trip, and we only saw one accident, and it was on the way home. It was in Indiana, and I don't know how it happened. I'm not sure I wanted to be around when it did happen, but I don't know if one of those Cadillac, the new SUV Cadillacs, did a brake check on a cement mixer, but she lost. Those things don't stop on a dime. You know, they've got 20 tons of concrete going. Not smart to brake check one of them guys. Because even if they do got good brakes, you're still going to get run over. They're going to squash you like a grape, Willow would say. Squash them like a bug. There are things in this life that if we're not careful, if we're not prudent, if we're not in the Word of God, being led by the Spirit of God, we will follow the wrong course. And we see it every day. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 2. 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Everybody there? All right. Don't leave me hanging up here. I do got that Reader's Digest back in the library. I can go back and read about, you know, something else. All right, no. And here it says, this is the Apostle Paul writing to young Timothy. And here it says, preach the word. Is there punctuation behind that? That means it stands alone. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Now, we have really, really come a long way in our teaching. Our teaching on Wednesday nights is awesome. When school starts back up, Sunday nights is going to be awesome. That one of the songs that we did, All My Life, You've Been Faithful here. I loved when Pastor Woodward shared the video of the Ukrainians ducking Russian bombs, praising the Lord. I won't sing that song the same again ever. Because we have brothers and sisters that are dodging bombs, saying, all my life you have been faithful. Boom! All my life you've been so, so good. With every breath as I am able, that I'm able. In America, we don't get it. We're about to. The tide's turned. This ain't America you grew up in. And I don't want to be scary, and I don't want to be considered a fearmonger, but we're never going back to the America that we've left. Mayberry long ago, and Mayberry's been boarded up, and the houses have been torn down. Welcome to the new frontier. Welcome to the final frontier. Welcome to the end of the age. It could be scary. It could be scary. If people who claim to know the Lord actually knew the times, if they were like the sons of Issachar and they claimed to know the Lord and they knew the times that they were living in, we would not be able to seat everybody here. But there's too many people that do not know the time we're living in nor the God that we serve. If just Christians, let's leave the lost out of it. If Christians knew the Lord, they would make every effort to be in these seats or seats around them somewhere to be in God's house because it's a command. But we don't care about that. There would be nothing this side of heaven that could keep you out of God's house. Quit pretending. Quit playing. If you're staying home and you don't, and you're not on your deathbed, or you're not in an iron lung like Michael Jackson used to sleep in. If you're staying home, you ain't worshiping Jehovah. You're not worshiping Jesus Christ. You worshiping self. You worshiping the flesh, and you just wanted to stay home. Let's face it. Time's too short. I got to preach the word. I got to be ready in season, and I got to be ready out of season. And we're coming out of the season. We've been out of the season since Barack Obama said America is not a Christian nation. The church was like, yes, we are. No, you're not. If you were, you wouldn't have allowed a bug to keep you out of church.
Yeah.
Don't be judging us. I'm not judging you. I'm telling you, I'm looking at the fruit. I got three trees in my backyard. They're all fruit trees. I went out there and the great big one's got apples on it the size of a baseball. Hallelujah. But I didn't like them. So I'm going to cut it down because that was supposed to be bearing peaches. Did I make a judgment? Can an apple tree bear peaches? Oh, I just looked at the fruit that it was bearing. I've got two little ones and they got peaches. They don't got a lot of them because they're brand new. But they're doing the best that they can.
Good word.
I'm feeling Pastor Burkhart's sermon. She's done what she could. They're doing the best that they can. And you know what? When the woman came before the Lord, she's done all that she could do. And Jesus recognized her and said, she's done all that she can. And that's all that he asked. He didn't ask her to do anything that she wasn't capable of. God's not asking you to do anything that you're not capable. He's put that desire in your heart. He's put that calling on your life. And he just wants you to walk out your calling with fear and trembling before him. Don't be proud like we just heard about the boasters. Don't be self-confident. I worry every time when we get up here, we stand up here, Lord, did I deliver the message the way you want? Did I give you what you wanted? Last week I preached a message up north and it was talking about the bride has made herself ready. I'm going to steal just a snippet of that. We're already banned in 70 countries. This might ban some more, but I don't care. The Lord's coming back. And the church is his bride. And in Revelation it says that the bride has made herself ready. Now I don't know about you all, but 41 years ago, the week before our wedding, I was stoked. I was beyond, you know, when you're traveling across a big body of water like the ocean, you get to the halfway point, and the pilot will come on the air and he'll say, you know, attention, you know, passengers, we have reached the point of no return. That means it's closer for us to go the rest of the way than to come back. Our fuel won't allow us to turn around. I had a buddy in camp one time. And the thing for boys at camp was to swim the lake, swim across it and back. I mean, he got halfway there. And there's a rowboat that goes out. There's a rowboat. Okay, I'm not endangering campers. And he got halfway across the lake. And the guy says, you're halfway there. You can make it. I'm afraid I can't make it to the other side. And he turned around and swam back.
Yeah.
How many believers have been almost home? How many believers have got to the point where they can almost receive the gospel with gladness and then back away? So close, but yet so far. I'm almost ready to commit, Lord, but there's something holding me back. I'm almost ready to commit. I'm not one of those grandpas. I'm not going to tell you everything. I'm not going to show you the vacation pictures. You got to see Vanessa for that because my phone was broke. Anyway, no. But Willow was in a floaty. We went swimming, and she was in one of those floaty things. And Ashley was leaving her, and she's like, "Come on, come on!" And Pawpaw had dove under the water and grabbed her by the ankle. And she goes, "It's got me! It's got me! Something's got me!" And Ashley goes, "Come on!" She goes, "I can't. Something unseen to me is holding me back." Something unseen is holding you back. Isn't it amazing that the writer of Ephesians says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places? Who can see spiritual wickedness? Is something unseen holding you back? Let me tell you, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Yes, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. If something unseen is holding you back, then allow that thing that's in you that you know to fight your battles. This is how we'll fight our battles, amen? Exhort, rebuke, convince. Man, I'm telling you, some people are hard to convince. Some people get set in their own ways. There was a guy I remember my grandfather talking about back in the 60s. You remember when NASA sent a man to the moon, or did they? Who knows? But you're never going to convince him that they sent a man to the moon. Try to convince as much as you can. You could show him the rockets. You could show him all the things. Show him the big computer. Show him the everything. And come to find out, he had a doctrine of his own. He thought it was all Hollywood scripted. He thought it was all made in a studio in Arizona. He thought it was all... And you know what? As weird as that is, with the satellites and the space stations and all the things that we have up there now, the Hubble telescope, which, by the way, have you seen the new things coming out of space lately? You know, because the moon and the sun and the stars were put there for signs and wonders. And yeah, well, all right. That's one of them doctrines. That's eschatology. We won't get to that yet today. He made more disciples than NASA did, because now not only have they convinced people that we never did go to the moon, they're already starting to talk about the Flat Earth Society. There's still people that believe that the world is flat. If you ever want to know that the world is not flat, go to any coastline. Any coastline. Because if the world was flat, it would be impossible for that water to be 100 feet above you just a mile or two out. If that water was that high and the earth was flat, you know, you'd be like Wile E. Coyote in those cartoons, you know, hold up the sign, "Help!" It's because the Lord sits up on the sphere or the circle of the earth, and you can't see beyond the horizon. You know it's there. You know there's something beyond the horizon. If it would, we wouldn't get in our cars and go very far. We would go only as far as we could see. But isn't it the amazing part? Just like driving in your car, just like walking down the road, the further down the road you get, the farther you see. I don't want to say anything about that, because that would be too simple. The deeper, the farther you go with the Lord, the more you see. Amen. It's in there. It's in there. Some people, though, they want to camp at the entrance. Okay, I'm just in. I got just enough to get me to heaven. I don't need much more than that. All right. Verse number 3 says, "For the time will come." Now the Apostle Paul's telling Timothy, you got to preach it. You got to be ready. You got to convince. You got to do all these things. You got to teach. because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from truth and be turned aside to fables. This is the sign at the mall. You are here. J.C. Penney's is that way, and you know, Kohl's is over here, and whatever. Elder, no, that's not Elder Barham. What would they turn them into? Anyway, whatever. Marshall's is over here, or whoever it is. All I need to know is where the arcade is, and I'll take the girls and you guys shop. And I've got this underlined in my Bible. He says, the time will come when they will not. Now, who's he talking about? He's not talking about the lost. They could care less about sound doctrine. He's talking about people. He's talking about people that should be in these green seats. You're not enduring sound doctrine, else your fanny would be planted on the purple or whatever color seats another church has. Because you cannot deny Christ here and expect to live with him for eternity. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father, said Jesus. Oh, well, I'm not denying the Lord. I love the Lord. Then why aren't you in his house? As Jesus' custom was, he was in the temple on the Sabbath. Just throwing that out there. Time's short, Pastor. We don't have a lot of time to mess around. I don't know that somebody I'm talking to in this room may not get to see Wednesday night's broadcast. 150,000 people did not wake up this morning. I didn't have a chance to talk to them all. I wish I had, because I would have done my level best to say, you need Jesus. Above all else, get Jesus. All right. I have this highlighted in verse number five. But you. He's addressing us. It's underlined. But you, JC. But you, believer, and you put that in your Bible. Put your name there. Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Are you going to? You're going to have people that are going to, out of the blue, come up and start yelling at you because your automatic timer in your car, you got your dogs and you're on vacation, you got your dogs and the automatic timer shut off just about 3 minutes before you got out there and it was only 68 to 70 degrees and a guy comes out and says, if you can't keep you in there and keep your cars, you got to keep, it's too hot for them dogs in that car. You're concerned about my dogs, huh? The air conditioner was just running, just shut off. It's got a 20-minute timer. They got water. The only thing that's getting their heart rate going now is some idiot standing out here looking at, in the windows. And then he proceeded to give me an award or something. I don't know what it was. It was some sort of salute. I should have called the police. Well, you should have. And then we would all had a good laugh at you. Well, then he started speaking old world English, something about donkeys. I don't know. But anyway, it's not safe. Have your dogs in the car. Yeah, right, because people may come up and look in on them and say, and then my dog gets agitated. If it really was hot, which it wasn't, I would have put him in stress. And then I would have had to act unpreacherly. Because I like my dog. Him, not so much. I'm a protector, even of my dog. What the Lord's blessed me with, don't you make fun of. What the Lord has blessed me with, don't be mocking. People don't understand it. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Too many people have bought into this false doctrine, just like Paul's saying here, that God is love and God forgives everybody and everybody goes to heaven. Well, let me ask you a question. If that's true, then is Adolf Hitler going to be beside you in heaven? John Wayne Gacy? Remember the clown up in Chicago that killed 30-some little boys after he molested them and buried them in the crawl space of his house? Is he going to be your neighbor in heaven? You see, we serve a just God. We serve a righteous God, and there will be punishment for sin. Not everybody goes to heaven.
That's right.
All right. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. And there's $1 million bills flying around all over up there. People picking them up left and right. People fighting over them. I hope they get it in them. Fulfill your ministry, he says. Fulfill your ministry. Do you realize that you have been given a ministry? If you're born again, if you're a believer in Christ, then you are set in his vineyard, in his garden, in order to bear fruit. What is the fruit of a believer? Well, what's the fruit of an apple tree? Apples. What's the fruit of a peach tree? Peaches. I'm going to try to grow me some of them Michigan plums. We brought a bunch of plums back and we're saving the seeds. What's the fruit of a plum tree? Prunes. And hello? The eventual fruit. And you don't ask what the fruit of plums are, I know. All right. Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your calling. Walk in your calling. Well, I don't have a ministry, Pastor. I don't know if I'm going to come up there and preach. You don't have to preach here. What about at the gas station? Well, you want to have a good ministry at the gas station? Start filling up an RV beside a guy in a Harley. Want to trade? Not hardly. Have that thing about half paid off, what we're putting in there. What about standing in line? What about the lady where, you know, you stop and get you one of them big belly washing sodas? I didn't know they made anything bigger than a 44 ounce. I really didn't. And with the next rest area 320 miles away, I don't know why they make them. But they do. They've got a 64-ouncer. A 64-ounce. Why? I mean, I'm big, but man, my kidneys and bladder ain't that big. That's not where I'm fat at, okay? We got to fulfill our ministry. You got a ministry. What about the people we talk to every day? What about the people? There's going to come a time. We used to sing a song in the Baptist church. It said, you saw me every day, and you knew that I was astray or afar or aside from Jesus. I was not walking in the way, which is, by the way, the name of the first church. They called them the way. You knew I was astray. I wasn't walking in the way. You knew it. We met every day. But you never mentioned him to me. Wow. I know that we went through a thing in the 90s where we wanted to be undercover Christians. Do you know what undercover officers do a lot of times? Undercover officers have to become as corrupt as the people that they're trying to blend with. And I can give you incident after incident. I can take you to an undercover officer, former, he's retired now, who said he about lost his sanity. He was so deep in a motorcycle gang. He was so deep in that he was actually selling drugs. He was actually pimping gals. He was so deep in. I had to get the dirt. And when the Fed came to arrest him, they arrested him. because he had morphed into a leadership role rather than an undercover observer. You've got to be careful what you're playing with. Bad company corrupts good character. You may have started out on the right track, but you keep rubbing elbows and you keep having people come around you. Bad company corrupts your character. And you know what? You know what character is? Character is who you are when there ain't nobody looking. Character is that person that finds that money, that $100 bill laying on the boardwalk at Indiana Beach, and instead of thinking, hoo-hoo, lotto, takes it to the ticket booth and say, hey, somebody lost this. Another incident, another day, little kid in the Skyway dropped a $20 bill, and you could see it. Now, I know kids ain't got a lot of money. That was probably given to him by his grandma and grandpa, by his mom and dad. Somebody gave him a kid a $20 bill. And you could hear him squalling, that's my money, that's my money. And the guy on the boardwalk says, it's mine now. What's the character? Right? Finders keepers. There goes the weeper. Right? Character. That's who you are when nobody's looking. But isn't it amazing as a believer, there's never a time when nobody's looking. Never a time when nobody is looking. Because the Holy Spirit in us is the hope of glory. Amen? And so there's always somebody looking. John chapter 10. I hope we can get through these this morning. This is too good. This is too good. We're going to try to get this passage, and if we can get done with it, well, then we'll get the next one. If not, we'll pick up the last passage on Wednesday evening, Lord willing. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. And this should be read in your Bible. Words in red. I don't know about you, but lately I've been having a lot of red letter days. Lately, I've been having a lot of red letter days, but the Lord delivers us out of all of them. Aren't you glad? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he doesn't send them out. He goes before them. That's important. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. There have been people that have passed through these doors that the Lord began to bless, and the Lord began to move on, and the Lord began to prosper, and the Lord began to heal. And that while they were here and while they were listening, you see, we're not the door, and we're not the shepherd. We're simply the doorkeeper and an under-shepherd. And while they were listening, they were hearing the voice of the shepherd. They were hearing the voice of the Lord. And they were being blessed, and they were being saved, and they were being safe from the storm. But another came who wasn't the shepherd, who wasn't an under-shepherd, and began to talk, climbed up some other way. I don't know, maybe it was on a Facebook post, maybe it was on a text, maybe it was a phone call, maybe it was gossip, maybe whoever, who knows. But they begin to listen to voices that were not the shepherd. And they're not here today. And for most of them, their peace and their security is waning. You saying, oh, if they don't come there, that they're not. No, 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 no. I'm saying that if the Lord puts you in a place, stay there. Bloom where you're planted. If the Lord sends you to a house, stay there. But they were talked away. They were, as it were, whisked away, seduced away. Jesus used this illustration in verse number 6. But they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. Sorry for those of you, in foreign lands with your 300 million gods. Sorry, thieves and robbers. Sorry, those of you who contend that Muhammad had his vision before Christ. Sorry, thieves and robbers. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the door. And Jesus himself said, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Amen? Aren't you glad that you can hear the voice of your shepherd today? I am the door. That's pretty good if you don't miss it. Compound sentence. It doesn't look like it in English. But you got to pause just for a moment to get it right. Who did God tell Moses to go back and tell Pharaoh that he was? I am. There's your door. I am the door. Now, the door is important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not belittling that. But I am is importanter. Y'all look at me. I went to school, okay? I got my sixth grade education. And I didn't go to preschool. Maybe that's it. Maybe I missed that first step. I don't know. I am. Everything in our lives encapsulates and satellites around the great I am. Whether we want to believe it or not. Whether we want to understand it or not. Just like the earth orbits the sun. Do you know what we found this week, what we heard this week? Anybody else hearing them? The cicadas? I'm ready to pop some balloons. 8 weeks until the first frost. Now, we were up north, and maybe you haven't heard them down here yet, but they're going to be frost up there in 8 weeks. Because the katydids is croaking, buddy. All right. And don't nobody tell me that's wrong, because you'd be like that one guy in that one movie. You wrong, Colonel Sanders, because my mama said. Mama said the reason the alligator is so angry, he got all them tooths and don't have no toothbrush. I know that's all for y'all saved. I get it. We all sanctified now, right? That's a high quality H2O right there. Lord, help me. It says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He'll be saved. All we got to do, folks, all we got to do, friends, is come through Jesus. Just come His way. Not my way. Not some other person's way. Come through Him. And we will be saved. And we'll go in and out and find pasture. And verse number 10, we hear this a lot around here because we've dealt with it so much that so many people don't realize that there is a thief present in the room. When I was building computers years ago, back when I was making computers, we knew that you had about 5 minutes when that thing hits online. If you don't got a virus protector, you will have a virus in 5 minutes. Now, even if you have a virus protector, if it's not up to date the day you turn it online, you've got a virus. Crazy, a computer virus. Crazy. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his main goal. He wants to steal what God has imparted to you. And in order to back that up, we'd have to go over into Genesis chapter 2, and you'd have to see where the serpent came and talked to Eve. And by the way, we don't believe that Adam and Eve were separated. Adam was just taking the role that man has taken for the last, 6,000 years, just let mama talk and him just stand there. Well, what Adam should have done was grab that serpent by the tail, used him like a whip and cracked the whip and then threw him out in the garden because he was a tiller of the garden. Right? We had a guy tell us the other day, the only good snake is one that he's thrown over the fence or hung on the fence. Comes but to steal. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your peace of mind. He wants to steal your health. He wants to steal the money. In Malachi it says some of us put our money in bags with holes in it. The Lord tells us that He will rebuke the devourer for our sake. Amen. We just do it God's way. Jesus said, "I am the way. Anybody that comes my way, He'll rebuke the devourer." And John's gospel tells us, he said, "I would that you would be in health." Not John's, his epistle. He said, "I would that you would be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers." By the way, can you think of a time when your soul has ever been sick? Throwing that out there. What happens if you get soul sick? Well, one, you go to hell. If you're still soul sick, then you're on your way to hell. But after you come to the Lord, has your soul ever not been healthy? Has it ever not prospered? Has it ever? Why do you think that John would say, "I would that you would be in health and prosper, even as your soul, that part that is inside you, is in health and prospering"? He's using it as a comparison that we need to really focus on and understand that we can be if we will allow Him control. If we come His way, we'll be saved. And He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief doesn't come but to steal. He wants to steal, and ultimately he wants to kill you. And you know what? A lot of times he doesn't have to kill the flesh. Sometimes he can just kill your reputation. That altercation in that tourist town up there, that tourist trap, with my dogs in the car on a 70-degree day, not a 90-degree day, not an 80-degree day, could have went a lot different. The thief may have been trying to kill my reputation, knowing that I have to minister the very next day at Pastor Rob's. Do you ever think things come into your life like that to kill your reputation or to kill your witness? What if I'd have took the same track that he did and get up to preach the next morning and there he was? You don't know how many times that stops arguments and the flesh from wanting to, because I know that hopefully and potentially some of those people will come here and get saved and the Lord will put a new heart in them, take out that old rocky, stony heart and put a heart of flesh in them that loves God and loves people. But the thief is trying to kill. He wants to kill your witness. He wants to kill your reputation. But then ultimately, he'd like to kill you. He'd like to take you out. And then he wants to destroy everything that you've built. You know, a lot of people, Brother Summerall said, of the families, the wealthy families that he knew, and he knew the owners of Marshall Fields. But after the founder passed, the sons didn't have the same knack for the business that Dad did. And they sold it. They were running it into bankruptcy, and they had to get out from under it because they never picked up their father's passion. They never picked up their father's skill. And it was on the way, after he had passed, to being destroyed. That whole legacy, that whole name was on its way to being destroyed. That's what the thief does. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, and that would be good. That would be good. Who doesn't want life, right? I'm pro-life. Who doesn't want life? I mean, there are a few people that want to kill, you know, they want to kill the most innocent and the most helpless and the most harmless, and just wait, they're coming, because next thing you know, they're going to be killing the aged and the elderly. And then they're going to be killing those in the middle who don't fit their metrics. I wish I could tell you that I was joking, but it's already happening in Europe. I wish I could tell you I was joking, but it's already happening in Oregon. They've got an assisted suicide. You don't want to live no more? Okay, well, all right, we'll hook you up to the machine, and boom. What if you change your mind? What if that big dream you were planning on that just seemed like it was never going to get here, the minute after that they put the needle in your arm and shot you full of the juice, whoo, you know, Ed McMahon showed up at your door. Hey, we're here. Million for life. What? They gave up? Oh, man, we sent them a letter, had their name on it with 22 of their neighbors. Why would you mean they wouldn't believe? Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Right. Not just life. If you're not living the abundant life, let me encourage you. Come on out and be with us. We're going to help you. We're going to show you how to connect with the Lord, and you can start living that abundant life. Amen. Has nothing to do with money. Right. Nothing. Living and money are not synonymous. Synonymous. Met some people this week that were totally minimalist. I mean, I know some people that are frugal. Pastor Burkhart used to talk about people that would squeeze the nickel till the buffalo squealed. But back when they had buffalo nickels. But I know some people that are frugal. I knew some people that would not eat out. But they would wait till the restaurant closed and ask if they had any food they were going to throw away that wasn't in the trash yet. Called it frugal. I met some people this week that made them look opulent, wasteful. We can do with a lot less if we knew how. Amen? But they're living the abundant life. Amen? Verse number 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He says, but a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them, the sheep, and scatters them. And the hireling flees because he is a hireling and he doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now here's a cool thing. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to the people around him. He's just talking about parables. But here's a good thing, and I don't think that Joseph Smith or Brigham Young have a corner on this market. Matter of fact, I think they use it out of context. But in verse number 16, he says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Aren't you glad today? There's one flock and one shepherd. And aren't you glad that the original branches were grafted off, as we said last time, and we have been grafted in? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'm not going to go into it. We've got another passage, and I'm not going to go into it. But suffice it to say, we need, as it were, we'll come back into this, and we'll start here Wednesday night. But we need to realize that there's an enemy out there that's trying to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's trying to corrupt. He's trying to pollute. He's trying to make people feel comfortable walking contrary to the will and word of God. And he's succeeding. And we've got to be instant in season and out of season. We've got to preach the word. We've got to convince. We've got to rebuke. We've got to lift up. We've got to lift up the name of Jesus. As we ended the praise and worship this morning with, we exalt him, and exalt him means to hold high. And we need to lift up the name of Jesus. We need to lift up, we need to speak the name of Jesus. We need to speak the name of Jesus over our community, over our city, over our county, over our country, yea, over the world. We need to start praying for those in China and those in Russia, that those evil leaders will be cut off. If God sets them up, he can take them down. We need to start praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is already being done in heaven." Amen? We need that type of prayer. Don't start wringing your hands and furrowing your brow. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? This world is right on track. It's right on course. I'm just going to mess with some people too. It's right on schedule. God didn't wake up this morning and go, "Oh no, what am I going to do?" We shouldn't either. God's got this. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give you all the honor and all the glory, Lord, for you alone are worthy. We thank you, Lord, that we know through the word that we can hear your voice. We know through the word, Lord, that you've called us to be instant, in season and out of season, to be ready. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you and give you all the honor and all the glory, for it's in your name alone we pray, the name of Jesus, that name above every name. And it's in your majestic name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen. God bless you. Come back and be with us at the next time.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at The River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.